aren't you glad he found you just in time? Hallelujah. I'd like to say I'm glad for the opportunity Brother Nathan's given me. And I want to thank you for the offering. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 17.
I just want to start out by saying, I hope this does not come across as a rebuke. I want it to be a challenge to our hearts. Chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bible says, "It came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of the Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go show yourselves unto the priest.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice, glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, saying, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" And just for a little while, I want to preach on why settle for less than God's best. Sometimes we hear that old saying, "I'm stuck in a rut." Well, I can say these 10 men were stuck in a rut. Leprosy was a lot worse than it is now because of all the medical advancements we have. I did a little research today on leprosy. And leprosy, they have cures for it now. But, you know, there's treatments for it. Back then, leprosy, you're an outcast. You were sent to a certain part of a village, and we're not allowed to mingle with anybody else. It was like our cancer today, if I can say. A definition of leprosy, I got this out of before the Webster Dictionary was revised. I think it was like 1913 where I found this definition. This is what I wanted to share. It's contagious disease which first appears as blebs or as reddish, shining, slightly prominent spots with spreading edges. These are often followed by an eruption of dark or yellow prominent nodules, frequently producing great deformity in one variety of the disease. Anesthesia of the skin, a prominent symptom. In addition, there may be wasting symptoms. You know, an attack of the muscles. When you had leprosy, like I said, you were an outcast. If anyone was to come around, you had to haul the words unclean, unclean, unclean. Verse 12 says he entered into a certain village. I can't help but think, Bud Jimmy, he knew where he was going when he entered that village. He knew what he was going by. You know, he was a Jew and they were Samaritans. Jews and Samaritans hated each other. You know, but Jesus knew where he was going. He knew that these Samaritans had a soul, and he wanted to give them hope. Reason being, these 10 men had no hope. They were an outcast. And when he saw him, when they saw Jesus, they said, "Have mercy on us." So what did they do? Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." So I can just see him all. It's like a kid saying, here's $100 in a toy store. Go crazy. You know, they were cleansed from that leprosy. So I can just see him sprinting to the priest. Can't wait to show him I can get back to my village. I can get back to my family if I got family. You know, all of them probably had some type of handicap from leprosy. Leprosy affects your limbs, your muscles. I mean, it makes them fall off. I mean, you're handicapped if you have leprosy. You know, but one of them turned around and glorified Jesus. And because that one turned around and glorified Jesus, you know, I don't know how it happened or when it took place, Brother Lewis, but when he fell down on his face, I don't know if it was right then or when he said, "Go, you know, go arise." But somewhere in that process, if he had no arms or no legs, he had legs, so he ran to him. But if he had no arms or muscle weakness, that's when it came back. Right then, because he glorified God. He gave God his best. It wasn't much, but he gave God his best. All he had was a cry to say, "Lord, thank you for healing me." That's all he had. But he gave him his best shot. Then there was the other 9. This may get a little tight on me, but that's all right. These other nine were satisfied with what just happened. They were satisfied they were just cleansed of the disease. If you were just cleansed of a disease, that means that disease can come back. Because if they were just cleansed from it and not completely healed, there was a reason why they got that disease in the first place. And somewhere down the road, they probably went right back to the same old thing. I can't prove that in the Bible, but we can prove it in today's society. When you get healed of something or touched from something, and you start to say, that's all right, I'm satisfied with that. Next thing you know, you're right back to where you once were. You know, sometimes that's how we are without even realizing it. We don't even realize what's going on around us. We think everything's okay. We think everything's going good. You know, sometimes we don't realize it because the devil wants to block our vision. We get caught up on that one thing when Jesus is standing there and I have so much more to offer you. He had so much more to offer them other nine. And you know, whenever they were in the same village, so that means they were all able to mingle back together. I wonder what they thought when they saw the other one. Weren't you just like us? What'd you do different? You know what he said to him? I just gave God my best. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Well, let me ask you the question. Do you give God your best? I've heard prayer requests. I'm not going to mention any names. I'm not here to throw anybody under the bus. This is just a challenge. I've heard prayer requests on how the Lord needs to move. But when it comes to giving your best, he don't get it. When church is open to give God your best, nowhere to be found. I also hear people say that I want the Lord to bless this church. But when it comes to working or doing outreach for this church, I ain't seen you here. You know, the reason why we don't give God's best, we don't put our best into it. But if there's something we want to do, we put our best into it. We got a little bit of this in our class at the end of it. I was just going over with some of my class on some things that hopefully we're going to change at the first of the year. And I was sitting there talking to Brother Ryan, Brother Zach, and Sister Ashley. And I asked them a question. I said, when it's something you want to do, do you give it your best effort? And they said, well, sure. And they went on to describe some of the things like training a horse. I think one of them said, is that what you said, Brother Ryan, on training a horse? Something to that effect. But every day, Brother Ryan gets out there and trains that horse. Says he wants that horse to know when he says something, go this way, go that way, however you say it, that horse is going to go that way. That's the same way God wants from us. He wants to train us if we'll just let him. It just takes a little bit of effort. If you want God to change the situation in your life, look back. Just take a seat back. Look at all going on and say, Lord, am I really giving you my best? Am I really giving you all I can give you? I'm not saying quit your job, get rid of your house, sell your car. That's not what I'm saying. This guy that gave the Lord, that didn't have anything, he just came back and glorified God. That was nothing, hardly anything. God don't expect anything but our best when it comes to it. He don't expect us to sacrifice and go crazy on that kind of stuff. He just wants our best. You know, God is so merciful and gracious, it don't take very much. Did none of us will be here. Give God your best and just see what happens. That's what I told them kids in my class. You know, I got on a little bit more things that I'm not going to share until the time comes. But they looked at me like I was kind of crazy for a while. I said, you just see when you give God your best, what happens. Just see what happens. Lastly, I want to ask a question. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? In Luke chapter 16, starting with verse 19, the Bible says, there was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it became to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in a bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of my finger in the water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou tormented. You know, this rich man, was it really worth being selfish? Was it really worth not thinking about anybody but yourself? If that rich man, we could hear him crying out from the pits of hell today, he would say, it ain't worth it. I would do it so much different. You know, I'm sure, I don't know how many times he had conviction or the Lord had passed by saying, all I want from you is my best. He's going, I wish I had gave the Lord my best tonight. Hey, Lazarus, I know you didn't have anything, but was it worth it? Was it worth giving God your best? Lazarus will look down and say, yes, it's worth giving God your best today. People today are like this rich man. They think they're okay, but they're really not. But this rich man is screaming from the pits of hell, it's not worth it. It is not worth it. This rich young ruler, Jesus said, sell all you have and follow me. That rich young ruler today saying it ain't worth it. You know, this rich young man had everything probably. He had enough to, but what he didn't realize was, I don't know, he might have been a disciple. He might have been an apostle. He was going to walk with Jesus. Jesus said, follow me. I don't know exactly what that definition means, but when someone says follow you, I mean, I'd be right there. They wouldn't leave my side. You know, this rich young ruler thought he had it all. But what he forgot to realize was he did not give God his best. This rich young ruler could not give up everything he owned to follow Christ. And like I said earlier, God don't expect us to give up everything, Brother Lewis. We know that. He knows we are on this world for a reason, and we need things to survive and to get by. But one thing we need to survive by is by giving God his best, our best to him. Hey, blind Bartimaeus, was it worth it? All your friends said, don't do it. Just stay back here. But Brother Jimmy, he said, no, I have to get to Jesus. And something I thought was kind of peculiar, Brother Lewis, was only way I could figure that blind Bartimaeus knew that was Jesus was by the crowd that was around him. He couldn't see him, but he knew that he was the one, Brother Jimmy. He knew that if he sat there any longer, that situation that he was in wasn't going to get any better. So they only had one chance. He had one chance to pass by. And in that, if you had one chance tonight in a certain situation and you knew it was going to get answered, you'd be just like Brian Bartimaeus. You didn't care who was around or who was bothering you. You would give God your best in that situation. And it, you know, he just wants a little bit of effort from us. A little bit of effort makes a big, great big payment from God. Hey, Daniel, was it worth it? It was worth it. The three Hebrew children, was it worth it? Yeah, it was worth it. Like I said, Lazarus, it's worth it. Lazarus didn't have anything, Brother Lewis, from this part, what I can figure. He was beggar and had leprosy. He had the evil things that sin provides. I'll guarantee you the devil said, just give it up. Quit begging. But let me ask you something. Let's say Lazarus would have done that. What would have happened? He would have died with the rich man from the effects of the devil. Not the effects of Jesus. But he knew that he had one chance to give God his best. And he, you know, sometimes we don't see God's best right away. Daniel prayed for 21 days, and what did the angel tell him? I heard you the first time. The first time I heard you. It just sometimes takes a little bit of effort on our part to keep giving God our best. And I understand we're human and things, we become sick and we become, things happen to us we don't expect. That's not what I'm talking about. When we all know, Brother Richard, Sister Dana, what happened to Sister Kylie? I'm sure you didn't expect it. You didn't plan it. I know you didn't. But in that terrible situation, what I did see from you guys was they were giving God his best. Because they knew what could happen, not what was going to happen. They knew what could happen. And they continued to strive. Every time someone came in, they came and prayed for her. Sister Debbie sometimes, people were leaving, hey, pray for her before you leave. They were saying, hey, Lord, this is all I got right now, but this is my best. You know, sometimes we don't realize what just a little bit of effort, what God will give us for it. And sometimes we wonder, Lord, how come you didn't move this way? I've been guilty of that this week. I don't understand why it's going this way. But that's where I got this message from. Just keep giving your best. Keep giving your best. Because you'll see the reward like Daniel did, the three Hebrew children did, Lazarus did. You will see the reward. You will see it. Stand all over the house tonight. I don't know, maybe there's a situation you're going through. Maybe there's a situation that don't look good around you, and the devil tells you there's no hope. But I won't tell you there's hope tonight. There's a chance. As long as King Jesus is alive, we got a chance, Brother Lewis. Every head bowed, no one looking around. So when I ask a simple question is, preacher, I could do better to give my best to the Lord. I want you to raise your hand. Preacher, there's a situation that don't look too good. Looks like it's never going to get answered. But I know it's going to get answered by keep giving God my best. I want you to raise your hand if that's you too. I see the hands. Let's just all come around and pray. And challenge to give God his best.
Sacrifice is less than giving you my very best. Let me remember Calvary and be willing to say yes. Oh, I will give you all. I will give you all. If all is what you ask of me, then I will not withhold. My sacrifice is less than giving you my very best. Help me remember Calvary.